Hi, this is Jalen for Dobbs, where tire buying is easy. At GoToDobbs.com, shop brands, sizes, pricing, and our amazing deals. With 40-plus locations, get same-day install. For tires, it's Dobbs.
For deals you can use, click on GoToDobbs.com now.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights.
History.
Win.
We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Time for Curbside with the voice of the Blues, Chris Kerber. Brought to you by Scott Lee Heating Company, a proud Mitsubishi Electric Elite contractor.
Brooke and Randy and the opening drive on 101 ESPN, and we head to the Celebrity Line, and our buddy, the voice of the Blues, Chris Kerber, joins us. Good morning, sir. How you doing?
Randy, I'm good today. How are you guys?
Everything's great. Did you stay up late last night to watch that game? I confess that doing a morning show, I went to bed.
I did not stay up late to watch it. I watched part of it and then went to bed.
And it was like the most atypical Oilers game ever. They won 1-0.
Yeah, they win 1-0. And L.A. was all over them at the beginning of the game, too. You know, Stuart Skinner, I mean, Edmonton got some goaltending here and that one was almost a classic atypical Edmonton game. And if Edmonton can find a way to start winning close games or low scoring games, they then become a dangerous commodity in the playoffs. I'm not sure that that's who they really are, so I don't know that it'll stick, but I can tell you that if you can't win a game or two like that, especially in the first round, you got a hard time getting out of it.
Curbs, we discussed this, Randy and I did, a little bit last week. The Golden Knights obviously facing against the Dallas Stars. And right in time for game one of the playoffs, Mark Stone was activated off the long-term injured reserve. There was some controversy surrounding it. What is your take on that?
Well, the controversy surrounding it is one of philosophies rather than, you know, I guess, actual legalities. We saw the Chicago Blackhawks do it in 2015, I think it was. We saw the Tampa Bay Lightning do it with Nikita Kucherov. And now we've seen Vegas do it a couple years in a row, and both happen to be Mark Stone. The issue for the fans that may not know about it is if a player gets injured and he's going to be out, and I think it's something like 10 games plus 20 days or something like that, you can, during the regular season, you can put them on long-term IR. That gives you the chance to then basically take, if their average salary is $7 million, their average annual value of their salary is $7 million. That allows you, that frees up then basically $7 million of cap space that you can go get somebody with. And that's really what Vegas did. And with that cap space, they went out and they got Hanifin, a defenseman, and they got Tomas Hertl from the San Jose Sharks. The problem that people are having, the controversy part is, how many times these guys that are on LTIR at the end of the season are then back in game one of the playoffs? And the reality of it is what it does is it is a form of cap circumvention. Now, it's legal. You can't argue. I mean, the guy had a lacerated spleen. I get it. There's no arguing the injury, right? But once again, you know, able to come out and start skating 3-4 days before the season ended, medically cleared 2 days before the playoffs start. It just looked, if it walks like a duck, if it quacks like a duck, it's typically a duck. And in this case, it's a duck. And Gary Bettman and the National Hockey League and the general managers have an issue on their hands. Now, the way that, again, and you got to make sure that this point is clear, they're playing within the rules. Mm-hmm. You know, the doctor says the guy's not ready. I mean, those are the rules. And the salary cap does not apply to the playoffs, right? What I'm hearing, and I've talked to two general managers about this, like, if this is going to get addressed, it's going to have to be addressed by the players. The players are going to have to say enough. So then I talked to two, after hearing that from two GMs, I went to two players and asked the same question. They said, yeah, we think this is total, you know, BS. And I'm like, okay, well, what are you going to do about it? Well, there's really nothing. Okay, well, that's why nothing changes when somebody says, I don't like this, but I'm not going to make an attempt to make a change. So the reason the GMs wouldn't want to change it is a lot of GMs, if they end up with a chance to use it, want to use it. And I have no idea what's going to go with the players. But if you're the Dallas Stars, right, and you just had a season you had winning the Central Division, which is hard as hell to do, And then you're up against a team that now has Hanifin and Hurdle because they were able to get those players from LTIR and Stonesville. Like, at some point, the players have got to get a little hacked off at the inequity of it. And in a cap era, it doesn't seem to make much sense. So unless the powers that be start to feel there's an issue with it, I don't see it changing. Now, I did do one other thing. I went down a rabbit hole. Now, the salary cap, guys, remember in the regular season, it applies to your 23-man roster, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not as easy to say, well, you have to put a team on the ice that fits under the cap. Because if you look at the eight teams that are in the Western Conference playoffs, seven of the eight teams, the team that they fielded on the ice in game one of their respective series, all were under what would have been the salary cap. Now, when you expand that roster out another five players to 23, or even three players to 20, about three others were over the cap. Vegas was the only one with the team on the ice, the actual 20 players on the ice, that would have been actually over the salary cap with their game one roster. So how they break it down, for me, it's real simple. If you're on LTIR in the final two games of the regular season, you are ineligible to play in the first round of the playoffs. And then I think this problem gets solved.
And Curbs, this is also, there's an easy fix, but it has to be in the CBA. When Aaron Rodgers gets hurt for the Jets, they can't go over the salary cap. They just have to deal with what they have and go get somebody. Joe Burrow gets hurt for the Bengals. They can't go out and sign Joe Flacco to a $2 million contract that takes them over the cap. Why not just have it be a hard cap and say, okay, well, this is what the cap is. You can never go over it.
Yeah, and they used to have, too. If you remember back in 2004-05, Randy, you know, the original cap, I don't know what it had when it came. I don't remember what that one was when it came to the injury side of it. But remember that you could not retain salary when you traded a player. And Brian Burke, I think, was the leader in trying to get that change. So There are ways to get out of bad contracts, or there are ways to move players. And because it created very little movement for general managers, because you literally had to trade dollars in, dollars out. The injury one, I agree with you on that in some respect. Now, look, you get a guy that goes out with a torn ACL in game one. Well, I mean, shoot, Aaron Rodgers. And you know, does that hose your whole season? This allows that to maybe not happen. But I do think there has to be a tweak. Maybe it's you can only – maybe you know, you're unlucky and it's a 50% cap hit that you're only allowed to replace. Whatever that may be. Because had Stone come back for game 81 or game 82, they would have had to clear whatever it is, $8 or $9 million worth of salary off their stuff rather than just keep them on there. And so, look, again, it's within the rules what they're doing right now, right? But it's clearly not within the realm of integrity when it comes to that. So, I mean, if the general manager of the Vegas Golden Knights is going to do a media tour saying, this is baloney, it's a legit injury, you know, he's just sitting back laughing the day that Mark Stone says, okay, I think I'm going to go skate a week
right
before the playoffs. I do believe that these leagues have to keep integrity in their sports at all costs. And this type of practice flies in the face of integrity of competition, in my opinion.
Curbs, Ben Frederickson yesterday at STLtoday.com and in the Post-Dispatch suggested that the coach that fits what the Blues are looking for in a new coach is probably Craig Berube. What do you think of that idea?
It's because they got rid of a good coach, right? It's because that coach has every quality that they want. Accountability, hard nose. And I think it's also, frankly, because as fans of Craig Berube, we all got used and loved that style, right? But as you can see, there's 16 other teams in the playoffs. There's 16 other coaches that are good enough to get a team to the playoffs. John Cooper has won Stanley Cups. You've got Pete DeBoer that's taken teams to Stanley Cup finals, right? Bruce Cassidy won a Stanley Cup. You've got Sullivan in Pittsburgh. You've got other coaches that have there's different ways to skin a cat. Yes, those qualities are what you're looking for. No, I don't see that reunion happening. Right? Mm-hmm. It wouldn't add up to me. And, you know, I still don't know how to handicap where Doug is going on this, to be honest with you. I haven't talked to him. But there's a lot of different ways. I mean, look, Drew Bannister coached his team to 10 games over 500 when they were below 500 in the previous 100. And it was pretty much the same team, right? So there's different ways to go about this. I just think whatever the Blues get, they just need someone that's a And if it's not keeping Drew Bannister here, it's just someone that's really straightforward, you know, that can bring some young kids along, because there's going to be a 3 or 4 year window here where, to be successful, you're going to have to rely on some very young and experienced NHL players.
Finally, Curbs, I know recency bias plays a big role in what I'm going to say here, because there's a lot of good teams in the playoffs. I think the best team I've seen in these playoffs are the Rangers.
Well, they're fantastic. And the one thing that did make them look good is Washington was not very good.
Exactly.
In the Eastern Conference, I think you're seeing things play out pretty much as they should have played out, right? I mean, the Rangers end up sweeping Washington, really didn't have much of an issue. Florida is better than Tampa this year. I thought Tampa might put up a little bit more, but, you know, the Tampa Bay Lightning after, you know, a couple cup runs and all that, they've gone into that we don't know quite where we're at just mode. You know, Carolina got unlucky in that sense. The New York Islanders squeaked one out. But if anybody thinks the Islanders are going to win 3 in a row, I think that's insane. So the Eastern, Randy, is shaking out kind of as you thought. I don't know about you. I don't know that these first-round games have been all that. I guess there hasn't been a ton of drama.
No, right? They haven't been very compelling at all, have they?
No. I mean, the intensity's great.
Yeah.
The action is great. I think we've had 5 overtime games total. So where you have to find your drama, your compellingness, is you're like, oh, you know, the city of Toronto is about to have a nuclear meltdown.
Right.
You know, it's those kind of things. Now, that Winnipeg-Colorado series is still going to be a beast. You're hoping that Dallas can find a way to tie that series up against, against Vegas. But, it's been pretty much almost as expected so far in the first round, when normally you might just see utter chaos.
Let me give you one more here. The Tampa Bay, tell me, take it or leave it, and then go with it where you like. The Tampa Bay Lightning are to the NHL what the Golden State Warriors are to the NBA. The window is essentially closed, is my take.
Yeah, if not, it's closing. I think it's a fair comparison. The only reason I say that, a lot could depend on this offseason, right? Like, because so the Tampa Bay Lightning are now, I think, where the Blues were last year or 2 years ago. You're like, okay, what's a key move or two that you can make, right, that extends this thing for Vasilevsky, for Hedman, for Stamkos, for Kucherov? And they've got some other good players. So the key is how you tweak it and how you do it. And, Randy, I think the Vegas Golden Knights are rewriting the way, and I think teams, not just NHL teams, the Vegas Golden Knights are rewriting the way I think teams should look and potentially look at building. I mean, if you have to tear your team down to nothing like the San Jose Sharks did, okay, and they've missed the playoffs every year now since 2019, and there's no end in sight to that process. So that could be a 7, 8, 9 year process, right? Okay. Or you'd say, to hell with draft picks. I'm going to spend some money. I'm going to go and I'm going to sign this guy and try to chase down this guy. I'm going to use the rules to my favor. And I'm going to just make sure that I've got talent that can last me for a little while and keep going through that. Well, it's worked now for 6 or 7 years for the Vegas Golden Knights to stay competitive. Okay. That's a heck of a window in there, and they won a cup in there. So, you know, if teams stay with the old mode of, okay, we'll trade this guy, we'll get these prospects, we'll hope this comes in, man, if more teams start to go the way the Vegas Golden Knights are doing, I think that other way of going about it could be really outdated and make it extremely difficult to compete. So I'm real curious how teams like San Jose compared to Tampa, compared to the Blues, compared to the Flyers, are all going to manage their way through this, because I honestly think the Vegas Golden Knights are shedding light on a new way to do things.
No doubt about it. No doubt. Curbs, thanks so much. Always great to have you with us on the show, and we will talk to you next week. Have a great week.
All right, you guys. Have an awesome week. Talk to you later.
Thanks, brother. That's Chris Kerber, your voice of the Blues here on 101 ESPN.